April 12, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum, and I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll. Arpaul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena?
Here.
Chris Corey? Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Tim Kaufman?
Here.
Julia Kennard? Arpaul Martin? Okay, Julia Kennard is here. Arpaul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's 10, and that's a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, Arpaul. All right, then. We will now go to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda. First, we have convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two is roll call. Number three is adopt agenda. Number four is the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, the minutes for 3 minutes. Number six, review the February 2022 financials for 30 minutes. Number seven, report from the executive director on Pacifica's financial position, 45 minutes. Number eight, motion updating Pacifica transaction limits, 15 minutes. Number nine, this is a motion. It's a motion from Susan Young and Sean Kelly McPherson that the NFC recommend to the PMB that a special meeting be convened devoted to an assessment of the current financial situation and options to maintain solvency and retire debt, with any discussion about personnel matters held in closed session. I gave that 10 minutes. Number 10 is budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 5 minutes. Number 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. We have an appendix, which I won't read. It's the motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. When we get to that, we'll read it.
Arpaul?
Go ahead, Arpaul.
Yeah, okay. So I see here. Is it proposed that in this 10-minute item we might end up going to an executive session?
No. This is a request for the PNB to. It's a request. I'll let Susan explain it if you wish. It's
okay,
her motion.
So the answer is no. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else on the agenda? Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. And we'll go now to the chair's announcements. It's one very simple announcement. Tonight we will review the February 2022 financials and hear a report from the executive director, Stephanie Wells. That concludes the chair's announcements. Arpaul, I understand we have minutes.
Yes, hold on a second.
Take your time. Paul is our secretary. He does
okay.
A great deal of work.
I move that we approve the minutes of the March 22nd, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to approving the minutes of the March 22nd meeting? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. That takes us to number six on the agenda. And, Julia, I know we discussed how long to give this item, but you take as much time as you want. We'll hope that Stephanie gets here in the meantime.
I'm here.
So this is number six, review of the February 2022 financials. again, 30 minutes. Go ahead, Julia.
And Stephanie is here. Stephanie
is
here.
Hello, yes. Steph. Thank you. Go ahead, Julia, when you're ready.
I apologize. The old mute button got me that time. Yes. So, yeah, I apologize. I'm just a little frazzled and exhausted. So, I apologize for the financials coming out late today. I know that some of you may not have had time to go into those in detail. So again, if you have questions, you know, as you have time to look through them, don't hesitate to let me know or shoot me an email. As I noted in the email when I sent these out, revenues are down versus prior year to date by 14%. Of course, now that includes let's see, and then expenses are down 1%. While the deficit is at about $500,000, I will say that listener support was actually higher for KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW, which, well, I hate to say it, but I was a little bit surprised, but also I'm happy. So, but we need substantial movement in those areas. I mentioned to James today that I really felt like the best use of time, and we can go through and kind of nitpick at some numbers, but I think the best use of time is really discussing where we're going from here. We know we need to fundraise, but and we need to continue with these fund drives, and we need to find affordable ways to continue these fund drives. But it's going to take something bigger than these fund drives to get us through this situation. You know, no one has gone off the rails with their payroll or any, you know, anything like that. So, you know, knowing that I didn't see anything really bizarre in the amount of time that I've had to review the total package today, I think the focus needs to be on what are the next steps. We spend a lot of time kind of looking at the details, but not seeing the bigger picture of that we're in a cash flow crisis at the moment. And so if someone would like me to speak to something more specific within the financials, I'm happy to do that, except the stack, do some shout outs, and we can do that. But otherwise, I think that it would be best to discuss where we're going.
Okay.
So I will say my goal is to have the March financials out to you next week. I know we don't have a meeting next week, but I'm hoping to get them out way in advance of the next meeting.
Yeah, that would be great, so we could have more time to look at it. Understanding again that everyone really just got these, are there any questions?
Well, and I say that because I know that some people jump directly to their unit and might see something that raises a question, you know.
Right.
I think that our issue is that we have to, even taking the bigger picture cash flow situation out of this, the two stations that I'm very familiar with what their average daily fund drive revenue is, those numbers need to go up. I would say, given the amount of listenership that they have and the, you know, as I'm picking up knowledge as I come along about the work that these units are doing, given what we're paying out to produce and put things on the air and paying for the phone banks and for the certain people who are doing some of the programming and then the premiums, and I just haven't had time to actually do what I would normally do in this situation, which is put down a worksheet and say, hey, this is what it's costing. And I think that came up the other day. I don't remember if it was Beth, someone, you know, saying something about, you know, we should be able to generate reports out of our fundraising software to tell us, you know, what our actual net is for these fund drives, and we're not able to do that. But just looking, knowing, seeing what's coming through, you know, just for the phone bank for one fund drive, that's, I think it was $12,000 last month. Now, granted, they, let's see, I think that was, they brought in over $100,000, but we also paid a good, paid and will be paying out a good bit in consultants and programmers who were pushing those funds out, you know, doing the fund drive. So, and I guess I don't mean to be blunt about it, but I just feel like there's really not a lot to talk about. Nothing's changed.
Julia,
to make a decision.
Julia, you did comment that income was up at several stations. Could you go into that a little further?
Sure. Well, and I'm just saying versus February. So, for example, I'm looking to, well, here we can start. Let's just, I'm on the line 8 for listener support for KPFA. And this was one that I haven't been able to validate yet, but because I don't have the information to look at to validate it. But, you know, they had almost 400,000 in February of last year, but we had 220,000 this year. And I don't know what the narrative is to that. I'm sure there is one. But that was a little surprising to me. And I did reach out to see if that was an error, but evidently is not. KPFK raised 110,000 in February versus 190,000 in February of last year. And of course, that seems to be the trend there. They've been working there. I mean, the few people that I do talk with directly there, I know they're working hard. And but again, something more significant is going to have to happen there. We've got some significant past due payables for that unit. The listener support for KPFT, you know, last year they did 42,000. This year we're just over 49,000. So I guess at any point, if you want to at least say, try to find the positive in some areas. But in speaking with the staff there, I know that they are struggling. Their average per day on the when they are having a fund drive is pretty low.
Beth seeks recognition.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I recognize that the February financials are looking pretty dismal, but I wanted to point out that the KPFK at least was directed by the PNB sometime way back last year that we needed to engage immediately in emergency fundraising based on whatever we'd done in the past that had a track record, tried and true formulas. It may not be our favorite thing to broadcast, but if it works, we can't afford not to do it now. That resolution, which should have been implemented months and months ago, was finally implemented this March under new management. And it's producing as we had hoped it would. If we had been doing this all along, we might not be quite so deep in this hole, but because clearly we did have a sense of, at least to a degree, what works. So I'm somewhat relieved. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I have reliable reports from people in the station that it is indeed bringing in cash and it looks like it'll be enough to cover payroll, even in this off fundraising month, which is pretty extraordinary for us these days. And then we go back into regular fund drive on May 3rd. So it's not ideal. We still have a long way to go, but it looks like that's giving us, at least it's buying us some time to get the rest of this in order. So I'm not ready to give up. Thank you.
Anyone else? Not hearing anyone immediately. I have a question for Beth and or somebody. Go ahead.
Kim,
who was that?
I have, this is Kim. I have a point of personal privilege. Can you please back off your phone? I have to take my earbuds out when you're speaking. It's just, you're so much louder than everyone else.
You're talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm sorry.
Right,
if you could just back off a little.
How's that?
Is
better?
Yes, much
good.
Better. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for telling me. I appreciate that. Is anyone else for the stack? So I wanted to ask a question, and I realize we're discussing the February financials here, but I had heard from Stuart, the acting general manager at KPFK, that the emergency fundraising that he was implementing, this was a couple of days ago, had raised about $38,000 so far. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
As far as you know, Julia?
I'm looking at the online thing now. They've collected
$34,000.
Mm-hmm. So I guess
that was as of when?
Right now. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
I pulled it up while y'all were when Beth brought that up. So if I'm guessing right, in using 15 days, that's about $2,700 a day.
So that's still not enough to sustain them, but it's better than it was. Interesting.
Now, I don't believe that they were using the call center for this campaign, fortunately. No, I take that back. Are they? You know what? I just drew a blank. I don't believe they used the call center for this, the work that they're doing right now. But they are using a consultant.
Understood. Are there any other questions from anyone about KPFK or any other stations? Do you have anything more to say, Julie? I know you were urging us to move on to the discussion with the executive director.
Well, I guess I want to make sure that people understand that. And I feel like, you know, I've talked so much. I don't know if somebody just said this or I was on a call previously, but, you know, living payroll to payroll is not a successful way to operate. And so, and I don't in any way want to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to present the facts and be realistic because I feel like we've kind of been stuck in this stuck in the mud and not making the significant move that we need to do to be able to come out of this. I know Stephanie has really, and I want to yield to her here shortly, has put a lot of time and energy into trying to work things out, some ideas out, and some suggestions, or at least some, here are the options. But we have significant past due payables, and we know that at the current rate, even just another month or two, something significant has to happen because these past due payables are going to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there's not another loan to come in to help take care of that. I know that one of the challenges that I find is that, as we work through this, it's going to be extremely critical for us to have a true aged payables report. The way we run accounting in this organization makes that challenging to one degree because every unit does things differently. But in particular for the ones who are not, who NETA is not processing their daily financials, their daily, check writing and invoices and things like that, it's going to be super critical that we change how we are doing that work and that those units start sending in invoices so that we can start recording those invoices and really having a true aged payables, because we need to know what's out there. Right now, what's out there could easily be in someone's head at one or two of the, a couple of the units. And I, you know, that's my only process change I think that we need to be concerned about, and hopefully, you know, I'll talk with James about that. We might need some help with helping them understand why that needs to happen. And although we've discussed that for, I gather, for a couple of years, that still has not been happening.
Julie, did you name stations, which ones we're discussing, or if you
no,
don't
I
wish
did not.
To do that? Okay. All right. Any other questions on any of this?
This is Beth again.
Go ahead,
if
Beth.
I may. It's not specifically on these financials, but we don't often have the opportunity to talk with you directly, Julia. And so I was wondering whether there's any progress to report on the audit, and or on revising the chart of accounts. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Revising the chart of accounts has taken a back seat. So that's pretty cut to the chase right there. We have started receiving some information. I want to shout out to KPFT and Markeisha. She sent a good bit of information in to us yesterday and today. As I mentioned, maybe on the board meeting last week, that we're preparing to start uploading things to the portal for the auditor. That still is going to, take a few more weeks. So, but I'm, happy to see some of the stuff coming in from the units that we need so we can do the final review and get that uploaded. But again, there's still a good bit of work to do there, but it's moving along.
Thank you.
At this point, that's where I'm sort of dancing between February, March audit, and so that's why I really want to try to knock out some of the March, get the March financials done, so you have that, and I'll have at least a couple of weeks of just being able to work straight on audit.
Julie, this is James. I wanted to ask you, in 2 weeks, we'll be having another meeting. And as you know, we're, still doing budgets, which in an ideal world we would have done some time ago. Will we be able to review another budget, perhaps the archives at our next meeting? I know you're very busy, and the audits take priority. And we do traditionally take a step back here at this committee while the audits are happening.
If we want to send the archives budget out as they've presented it,
they say they're ready.
And that, well, I'm just saying, giving the committee members time to review it,
right,
and get their questions together, there might be a need for some change, but I don't have a problem with that. I just won't be digging into it deeply between now and then.
Understood. Okay.
But, I haven't been here digging into it deeply in the prior years that y'all were doing this, so I don't think I necessarily have the magic touch on that, but
right.
I don't see why we couldn't go ahead and just send it out.
And I don't think it's necessarily digging deeply into it, but it's a smaller budget than most, and
right.
I believe you have seen it and you've had it, and so you won't be completely unfamiliar with it.
Right. Do you want me to go ahead and send that out to everyone this week?
Sure. Let's do that.
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about the KPFK budget, and I mean, I really could go check it. I mean, I thought of this before the meeting, and I didn't have a chance to do it. You know, I could check the budget that you know we kind of put together with the you know the current what we have now. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, other than whatever might happen with our phone bill, I mean, the expenses that Julia and I put in there for the budget were pretty much it. I mean, you know, the problem with that budget is just the revenue, which we not only couldn't predict, and that's the problem with that budget. So there's not really a whole lot of work to just sort of acknowledge that you got a big old deficit budget. You know, I mean, we could, you know, like I said, I could check, you know, to see how close we were when you know, the LSB looked at it, but there's not a whole lot you can do there. The deficit, you know, and we don't know what the revenue is going to be.
I guess our issue there is, though, is, and I apologize, do I need to ask for permission to speak?
That's okay. I was not sure she was done, but yes, go ahead, Julia.
And Kim, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you know this, but I just feel like I have to say it out loud.
Sure.
We have to, in my mind, acknowledge that we are not, at some point, the utilities are going to get cut off. At some point, they are not going to be able to fund health premiums and payroll, two payrolls within the same month. You know, we have to, and I've been very committed to trying to keep up with the premium payments, whereas I think in the past those were some of the ones that were sort of pushed to the back. And, you know, walk a mile in somebody's shoes when they're trying to deal with cash flow issues, so I'm not judging there. But, I see the emails coming through where people have complained about not receiving their premiums. We can't be doing that. So, you know, I'm trying to prioritize that type of stuff, but we're in a situation where people could start trying to come get stuff. You know, for example, the large, you know, postage machine, that type of thing. I'm just concerned
by people, you mean
that pressure. Having that big. Yes.
Understood.
So, and, you know, there are issues that are going to be very expensive. You know, even with the prior GM, we knew that there were significant issues with the HVAC. And that's not going away. And I know when I was just there in October, there were, you know, one person had fans out. I mean, it was hot. And I'm from the South, you know. You know, you can't really work in an office that doesn't have air conditioning, you know, in July. I know that California maybe is a little cooler in some areas, but, you know, that's going to have to be addressed. And that's going to be several thousand dollars. The telephone situation has got to be addressed, which, again, is going to be several thousand dollars. So I guess they're just, I'm trying to put kind of those thoughts out there that, you know, when we know we have $1 million deficit budget, what are we doing to address it? Because at some point, we're going to get to the point where staff are stressed out, and I'm sure they're already stressed out, but freaking out because, you know, some utility has been cut off, or somebody's at the door with a U-Haul saying they're about to take something out. Or we're not able to fund payroll.
And nobody else is either.
Right, they're not alone. KPFK
no,
is no,
no, I mean, no, there's
well.
Not. Yeah, there's not going to be anybody for us to turn to at some point either, you know.
Correct, correct. And
yeah.
Now it's more than KPFK.
Yeah.
You know, others are not in as dire a situation, but any time that you have somebody who's never had to deal with being short for payroll, one particular unit pulled it out yesterday, or it might have been this morning. They must have had some kind of deposits yesterday, and they were only short a couple $1,000s, but still, you know, you imagine being the person feeling responsible for your staff's paychecks being processed, and, you know, $2,000 can ruin it for everybody, because it's an all or nothing, you know, when you process payroll. You can't really go through and say, oh, well, we're just going to pay these people, or, you know, everybody's just going to get a portion of it. Doesn't work like that.
Julia, I want to ask you two questions. Are you aware of, I realize, you know, you're speaking figuratively, but are you aware of any situations where trucks are going to pull up or are pulling up to stations where they're going to take things out? Is there anything you could specify about that?
No, I'm not. I'm just being, I'm surprised that they're not.
I get it. Yeah.
Right, I am. And so when I think about, and again, I'm not in California, so I do not know what is going on with the utilities there. I know here in South Carolina, if we don't pay our utility bill, unless I miss something, because I am blessed to be in the situation where I can pay my utility bill. But back in the day when I couldn't, you would get that stuff cut off. And we haven't paid a utility bill there since I've started working with you guys.
Yeah, and my second question is, go ahead.
And the other is just, we have a lease, we lease some equipment. And that's what I'm talking about, somebody driving up and coming to get it.
Get the copy machine or something.
Copiers, the printer, the postage machine, that type of thing.
I get that. And
which
I want costs
more than you think. So, and also, really, it's not you know, we're at a point where, well, gosh, we want to cover our day-to-day expenses, but now we are in the situation where we've got to catch up. So you've got, you know, tens of thousands of dollars just in, say, utilities, you know, $15,000 just for the postage machine. That's back. That's not current, you know, that's past due. So,
right, Julie, that brings up my second question, which was, I have heard, you know, I do understand that the utility bill, especially the electric bill, is a problem that's, you know, as the season wears on, is going to become more of a pronounced problem with the heat in Los Angeles. And it so happens that our archives are stored at the KPFK building in Los Angeles, and they need to be air conditioned in order to preserve them. Heat is apparently very damaging to the old tapes in the archives. So that is a special issue. The archives are one of the things one of the assets that we have that needs special protection. So perhaps we could start to explore. I mean, I know we've been talking about ways to monetize the archives and what to do with the archives, et cetera. But, you know, perhaps now we need to be asking for some emergency assistance to protect them by providing some utility bill payments so that the power stays on. So I'm just noting that because we have people here that, you know, could possibly look into that. Any other questions?
I would like to mention,
Stephanie?
And I know it's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I do want to mention, just to not confuse the topic for the listeners, the difference between the HVAC units versus the utility bills. So it is my understanding, and Stephanie might be more up to date with this, that the actual unit that covers the that what I call that giant closet of archives that is temperature, like significantly temperature controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that unit is functioning fine. I hope. I believe it is the office space for KPFK and PRA that is collapsing.
Understood, but so that's also my understanding that they're on one, they have one utility bill that
correct.
Covers the whole building, and that's, you know, if the power gets shut
right.
off.
So that's what I'm saying,
one,
the difference
gonna get
between
shut off
the units and the utilities.
Right. Any other questions for Julia? This is her CFO report. It's not just reviewing the February financials. It's anything else that anybody has? Any other questions for Julia?
Let me, this is Susan, if I may.
Go ahead, Susan.
And I'm not sure when the right time is to ask. And, you know, and so my motion was intended to get at the question of how bad are we? And how can you tell when it's bad, too bad, you know? So I'm trying to keep that in mind. I'm having trouble understanding, as a member of the board and the member of the NFC, how to execute my fiduciary responsibility. So when we have these conversations, I really need to understand what is bad.
What is what? You need to understand what is what was the last word you said?
How bad is bad? When I hear the
bad is bad.
How bad is bad, I think she said.
How bad is bad? When I hear the things that we talk about for any other organization that I have managed or served on, all of this would be really, really, really bad.
It is. It's like we're like, and I know you, it's bad. Like we don't have enough money. We can't pay our bills. We have significant debt. And we don't have a way to pay it. So we have the FJC loan that hopefully is going to be renegotiated. Arthur said he was reaching out to them in September to renegotiate that. It's due, the balance is due in October. We have settlement costs from lawsuits that we are finishing one but picking up another. We have over $500,000. Well, no, we might not. I believe we easily have to go back and look because it changes depending on what we paid off with some of the, a little bit of the FJC, I mean, the idle funds. But we have a few $100,000 in past due payables. So in just the current cash that's coming in, the reason we have the past due payables is because I have a spreadsheet that I keep up with setting cash, like tracking cash daily, at least for the national office and KPFK, because they're the most stressed at this point because the national office only has two units that are paying central services. That's KPFA and WPFW. You know, they can't, we have large outflows of cash that just apply to insurance. I'm not talking about health insurance, but directors and officers insurance, liability insurance, you know, that kind of stuff that's coming up. So we're there. I mean, each week, I almost told the person in our office that processes our payables to not stress out about getting updated payables for me. Today, we have a schedule, you know, and she always does that on Tuesdays. I almost told her, don't stress about it because we can't pay anything anyway, but we have to pay out the, you know, the settlement this week, part of the initial payment on the settlement this week. So, but otherwise, we're in a very tough situation being able to cut checks. So I'm not sure to how familiar or it's typically almost every organization cuts checks every week or every 2 weeks. We can't do that. It, when we do, I'm paying things like the union dues, things where we've had withholdings, you know, from payroll that need to go out.
This is Kim.
Kim, before you go ahead, I want to say that we are at time for this item, and I'm wondering if anybody would like to extend.
Well, I'll move to extend for 5 minutes.
Is there any discussion? Any objection to extending for 5? Hearing none, we're extended. Go ahead, Beth. Kim?
Well, you know, I mean, I think this is a conversation that really needs to be had with the GMs. Really, I mean, we do oversight. They're the ones who, you know, are supposedly professionals and have ideas, and there's not a lot we can do without them. I shouldn't have asked for 5 minutes because I don't really have much more than that. Yeah, it's bad, and it's been bad, and, you know, but we have to, you know, avail ourselves of the people who can do something.
Hey, Jim, it's Arthur Schwartz. Can I say something?
Oh, sure, go ahead, Arthur. Let me just say that I invited Arthur to this meeting, and he's been just listening, but now he's going to speak, I guess. Go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, I mean, I just want, in some ways, I feel like a rookie, I believe. I mean, I'm more experienced than Stephanie, but I've really only been around 2 years. I've been a producer for 4 years, but I've only been on dealing with this stuff for 2 years. But to me, it's like, I think that there has to be fundraising strategy. We just can't say to the GMs, keep doing it. We need to come up with a national plan, some exciting fundraising. I mean, besides the long-term plan, like monetizing podcasts or, you know, or a YouTube channel or whatever it is we can do, but also having some big drive and being in WBAI, they decided to have a drive in January, was it, Jim? To raise 6 months' rent for their tower.
Yes.
For their antenna. And they did it. They got it. They did it. They did it online. They did it on the air. They did it, you know, and people made special contributions and they raised the goal. They got almost all the way to the goal.
That's not completely accurate, Arthur, if I could just intervene for a second.
But the goal was set at
$250,000 and they raised $80,000.
Okay,
this is Kim. Can I get back on the stack after Arthur? Go ahead. Sorry, Arthur.
Yes, Kim. I've got you.
All I'm saying is I think that instead of hand-wringing, there has to be a couple of fundraising strategies of different sorts, some with rich people, some with you know, regular donors, some with, you know, events. You know, I know a lot of our stations are hosting a big fundraiser for Democracy Now! On Thursday. You know, do stuff like that instead of just saying, oh, go back to the GMs and tell them they have to figure out how to deal with the situation. That's all I wanted to say. And by the way, most of the money that I think we owe, because I've seen the spreadsheet, is to lawyers, including me.
This is Kim.
Thank you, Arthur. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'll let our Paul go because I've spoken more than him.
I didn't hear our Paul. Our Paul, did you want to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. This is a speech I give, and people who've been here a while have heard this over and over again. If you have a business and it's not able to pay its bills because it can't raise enough revenue, what you have to do is examine your product. And either you improve your product somehow or you start putting out a different product in addition. Or maybe you just change your product. Well, We're a radio network. Our main product is radio programming, and sort of with that, there's not a really a big option for changing our product. So what's left is we got to improve the product somehow. Having said that, of course, everybody will disagree on what improving the product would even mean. But the fact is, we have to do that. The main way we get money is through the air. And again, this is why I've been told in the past that some grantors won't give us money because they say, hey, you can go on the air and ask for money. We're funding people who have to go out and stand in the street and pass out leaflets and shake a paper cup. So we really need to make it so that the air will bring in the money we need. Otherwise, well, that's what we have now. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Arpal. Kim, before you go, I just want to say that we've got about less than a minute left in the five-minute extension, and it seems like we're getting into the conversation that we'll have associated with the executive director's remarks. So if you could make your remarks, and then unless anyone else has anything pressing, we'll go ahead and go to the executive director. Go ahead, Kim.
I hear what Arthur is saying, but, you know, and I mean, Berthold's tower project may have undershot what its goal was, but it still raised X amount of money for that thing, which I do not think was a bad thing at all. And I tried to speak to our GM, but he doesn't hear me. That's why I think this is a conversation that the GMs need to be in on, you know, so somebody else can talk in a way that people will hear this. And, you know, that ideas are better if they think they develop them somehow, you know. So I'm maybe dancing around the edges of what I'm trying to say, but that's what I'm trying to say. That's it. I'm done.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate what you're saying. We're now at time for this item. And there hasn't been a move to extend. So let's go to our next item, which is the executive director's report. Stephanie, are you ready?
Yeah.
Good. And this, just for our Paul's purposes, this is item number 7.
I got that.
Focusing on the revenue and expenses is definitely something that, you know, as Julia alluded to, we take a look at every single day. And we're looking at the revenue versus expenses in a very realistic way and in a conservative way. And we do have to sit there and make that decision every single week as to what bills we can pay and what bills we cannot pay. And as she said, sometimes there are weeks that we cannot pay any of our past dues at all because we want to make sure that we're, you know, covering and making payroll. As much as we need to take a realistic look at our revenue versus expenses, I'm also taking, you know, fundraising very seriously and trying to think of creative ways that we can raise money. Creative ways that we can keep our listeners who are donating to continue donating. We're lacking in stewardship. There's not a lot of follow-up with lapsed donors. There's a lot of pledges that are made, but then they never paid. So we need to be able to follow up on that. Again, that's, you know, through phone calls and emails and texting certain people, you know, whatever we need to do to keep holding on to our donors. And try to also create, develop some creative ways that we can raise raise revenue. I do speak with the GMs on a regular basis. We will have group calls with all of them, but right now, just to sort of build faith and build relationships with the GMs and the program directors, I meet with them pretty much on a weekly basis. I'm talking to one or two of them every single week just to kind of see what they're doing, what their needs are. You know, some things as simple as they have some HR issues, or, you know, they need the copy of the handbook, or they have questions about insurance, something like that. Just making them feel that they are being listened to and that we're there to meet their needs. And at the same time that I'm, you know, we're working on building that relationship, we are talking about the finances. And one of the things that I'm stressing with the GMs as well is that budgets are a living document. It isn't something that we just create and submit and approve and put it in a drawer and move on. But with each of the GMs, we'll be, you know, I'll be working with them and looking at their budgets on a regular basis. So when we have these monthly financials that are given to us, then I go back to the GMs and we take a look at it and we say, okay, this is what you've done. What are your projections? If we're not going to reach this goal, how are we going to get there? What can we do to try to meet the goals that were set so we can sustain and just break even on some of these, so the revenue and the expense gap gets a little bit closer. One of the things that I'm working on is looking at, working with Julia and getting finances and also just reviewing our old 990s for the past few years, and then looking at the current revenue for each of the divisions, including the archives and including the affiliates, and figuring out for each dollar that is raised, how much are we spending? And then breaking it down in a very simple form. You know, if we're raising a dollar, but we're spending $1.67, what is it that we need to do again to close that gap? And how can we work with the staff that we have and the programs that we have to try to close that gap? So when we figure all of that out and I have that all mapped out, then I'm also looking at, you know, well, what can we do now to help raise, you know, to raise the revenue and decrease the expenses, or at least close that gap? Maybe it's not decreasing expenses. Maybe it's increasing, you know, obviously it's increasing the revenue. But what is it that can we do now? What is it that we can do later? What can we not do now? And what can we not do at all? You know, so we have to kind of answer those questions, or what steps are we going to be able to take to get us to the place where we are financially sustainable? And I'm going to create for this committee to look at, and then hopefully ultimately present it to the board as to what are our options? And I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of GMs, a lot of staff, a lot of volunteers, a lot of board members over the past couple of weeks, talking about all options, whether those options are good, bad, ugly, they still have to be discussed. You know, I don't want to sit there and say we're going to declare Chapter 13 bankruptcy, but we have to put that on the table as an option to look at and put that in that list of this is what we cannot do at all. You know, we have to be able to look realistically at every single option that's out there. And I think that, and just because that is an option on paper, does not mean that that's an option that will happen or an option that we will do. All it is that we are realistically taking a look at every single thing. And that, I think, just maybe is the way my brain works. My brain is pretty much like a flow chart. If we do A, then B and C might happen. If we don't do A, then we have option, you know, B. And then if B happens, that leads to C, and then C can lead to D. And if that doesn't, and then we just try to map out all of the what ifs, and also how can we prevent certain things from happening. So, you know, for example, I don't want the power to be turned off at K. I really don't, for obvious reasons. So let's try to figure out, you know, do we work, and we've had these discussions, do we even talk to the electric department, you know, electric company in LA to try to ask them how much time do we have? Because maybe we're not on their radar right now. So I don't want to put them on, you know, I don't want to put us on the, we haven't seen any turnoff notices yet, but have they been coming in? And maybe they were just, you know, shoved in somebody's drawer over the last couple of months. You know, so I've told the GM and the folks there, let's keep a lookout in case there's any sort of bill so we can deal with that. The Pitney Bowes machine, we don't really need it. Let's try to see what we can do to cut off that contract so we don't have to extend that. So, again, one of the things I'm also talking with each of the GMs about is what are some of those needs that you have that you anticipate that we're going to need to raise funds for and fundraise for. For example, the phone system at K. We're going to have or going to have probably a very a fund drive specific for the phone, which would be a pretty easy fund drive to be able to do to say, you know, we love our listeners. We need their support. We love their support. We need a phone system that can support that. Help us raise money to update our phones because our listeners know that they're having problems with the phones. The air conditioning, it is a separate unit for the archive. So they have their own air conditioning unit that's new, but the air conditioning unit for the station itself is old. Have a specific fund drive just for the air conditioning unit. With KPFT, we know that they're on, you know, looking for a new building. We have funding for that. Once they find a building and we make those the everything that's needed to fix the building where it needs to be, we can have very specific capital campaign drives for certain, you know, equipment, certain rooms. Name the room, name the studio. We've talked about that even at K is being able to entice certain donors by letting them name a studio, name an office, you know, do something like that. So I am talking, again, as I said, with the general managers to try to figure out ways that we can have specific and special projects that are fundraisers, try to meet and see what those specific needs are of each station, try to use some of the things that are working. KPFT had a great fundraiser that's been going on, 52 for 52, to celebrate their anniversary. We've talked to some of the general managers and asked for donations that are higher than the base membership. You know, $25 is hardly anything. I mean, you drop that at Starbucks sometimes in one visit. So, you know, kind of bringing even some of our membership dollars or our membership, the base membership price up to something higher. You know, there were quite a few donors in the KF paid donor base that were donating 25 cents a month, you know, so maybe we need to kind of increase what those monthly donations are, that we don't take a 25 cents a month donation. Thank God, you know, we're thankful that people can give what they can, but it's, you know, we need to raise what we're asking for. So I signed many emails over this past few days of, you know, onward and upward, because that's really what we're talking about when I'm talking with the GMs, is that I know that they're in a lot of pressure to try to raise funds. And I know that they have pressure of mounting bills and pressure of not being able to make payroll. And, you know, Julia and I talk to everybody when they're in that pressure of not being able to make payroll. And we, you know, are very positive and telling them we're going to do what we can. Let's see what we can raise. Let's see what we can do. And people and the staff are stepping up to the plate. And it's very encouraging to see that the stations, despite all of this, we're on the air 24/7, you know, and we're not going anywhere. So I'm 100% have faith that we will turn it around. But we have to take a realistic look at everything that we need to do long-term and what we need to do immediately. Yes, grants are a great opportunity to move forward, but as of right now, our budgets aren't conducive to getting some of those grants. And I've talked with the directors at the Weingart Foundation, people that, you know, that I know the director there, and just talked with them friend to friend. You know, what does this look like? What can we do? How can we move forward? And it's, well, you know, got to show a bit more fiscal management and responsibility and get yourself at least a little closer up to debt before we can consider funding you, or before you can really make a great presentation to foundations in order to do that. Somebody put forward a great grant opportunity that is coming through the government that would be for Spanish programming in Los Angeles, and it's creating 24 programs for a year and also doing them on video. Great opportunity, would fit, you know, with what we're doing. It's a $100,000 grant, but it's a reimbursable grant. So in order to get the grant, we have to show that we have $100,000 in the bank at KPFK so we can pay for what we said we're going to do before the government will reimburse us. And I've received grants before from the Department of Justice, and that's exactly what they do. So there are opportunities out there, and there are people and organizations and foundations that are excited and eager to be able to support us, but we need to get things just cleaned up a bit more and show that we do have fiscal responsibility, and we're taking control of we're showing responsibility in our fiscal response. We're doing good fiscal management, and then they will take a good look at what we're doing. So again, we focus long term on what we need to do for fundraising, create these special projects and special fundraising opportunities per station, but we then also have to realistically take a close look at what we need to do to close that gap between dollars raised and dollars spent. And the GMs are aware of the pressure that is on them, but I'm easing that pressure as much as I can to let them know that we're supporting them, we are behind them, and we are doing everything we can to try to support them with what they need, and also to be able to have the GMs have and the staff just have a better grasp on the budget. That again, it's not just something you make, put in a drawer, and walk away. But budgets are living documents that we need to look at and adjust so we can see down the road if we're losing, such and such amount of dollars per month this month, what are we projecting to lose next month, and how can we try to increase that revenue instead? So it's, I am optimistic, very much so, that we will pull through this, but getting to financial stability sometimes is a little bit painful. And we need to, as I said, people that maybe aren't used to fundraising or taking fundraising seriously, everybody needs to step up and think, who do I know that can donate? Our best bet at this point, I think, are individual donors that believe in the mission and have faith in Pacifica, that would be willing to make a substantial gift to support the organization. I am working with somebody in LA on the listener board who does have a close relationship with somebody that does have a lot of money, and we're arranging a time that we can, sit down and have lunch and lay it out realistically. This is what we're struggling with. This is what we're looking at. We can't get grants from foundations until we get ourselves in a better financial position. Can you help us get there? So, and that's just, one person on the board who has a connection with somebody that he didn't even think about until we sat down and on the phone and talked about it a little bit more. So there is potential there. But as we, again, look long-term on how we can start raising more revenue, we still need to have a very realistic look at the realities of where we are right now and what we can do right now so we're not running from payroll to payroll, because it is very difficult for the staff to, thank God that they're working as hard as they are, and we haven't had any issues with, again, it still amazes me that we're on the air 24/7, because it's all the staff everywhere is feeling the pressure. Even though the stations that are doing well understand how painful it is for the other stations, and the GMs and the program directors are calling each other and supporting each other and saying that we have your back and, we're here to help you, and is there any programming that we can share across the board to help you? So shout out to, Berkeley and Washington. I was just on the phone today with Jerry for a very long time, but, just shout out to them for really providing that support that goes from coworker to coworker, because it really does help the general managers and the rest of the staff to know that the entire network is there supporting them. So hopefully I'll have a plan for everybody to review. I'll be doing it in a Word document. I'll be doing it in a flowchart. I'll be doing it as a PowerPoint. I'll be doing it, you know, as an Excel spread. So everybody has an opportunity to look at it however they best see fit. Some people are more visual learners. Some people are more verbal learners, you know, reading instead. Some want pictures. So I'll definitely make sure that there are different options for people to choose from, so it makes it a little bit of a more pleasant read and easier to get through.